Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. This is the story of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed, and they wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today is Pentecost, and I see that many of you have worn red. We as clergy are robed, even though we don't normally robe in the summertime. But I'm excited because it's the only Sunday of the year we can wear red stoles. Now, the choir can wear red every Sunday, but we only get to wear our red stoles one Sunday. That's not fair. I really like my red stole, so I'm glad we're wearing red today. Pentecost is a wonderful, wonderful celebration of the birth of the church, of the coming of the Holy Spirit. But you know, at the beginning of the Christian year, of the Christian tradition, Easter was, of course, the major celebration, the major holy day, celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Pentecost was really the second most important. We think of Christmas as being the major church holiday, but Christmas wasn't established until centuries later. The early Christians were celebrating the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't really concerned about his birth at that time. That came later. Pentecost was really the thing that they really celebrated. Pentecost came that 50 days after the crucifixion. Now, we sometimes think that we invented Pentecost, that somehow the Holy Spirit came 50 days later and we said, okay, we're going to celebrate that day and call it Pentecost. It was already a Jewish feast day. It was a major feast day. And the Greeks called it Pentecost, Penta, the 50th, because it came 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover was this major feast. And this feast celebrated the giving of the law to Moses. Now, that's pretty important for the Jewish faith. That's a big, big thing. So this was a major holiday. And it brought faithful Jews from all over the world, all over the known world at that time. They came to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was filled with pilgrims and proselytes and Jews from all over. And many of them, coming from different countries, spoke in different languages. So the city was full of people talking in different languages, not being able to understand each other, but all there with the common purpose of celebrating this holy day, this feast day, the day that they celebrated the giving of the law to Moses, the great prophet. So it was on this day of Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover, the 50th day after the crucifixion of Jesus, that the disciples had gathered, as they normally did, and the Holy Spirit came as a mighty wind, a rush of wind. We're familiar with the story, perhaps. And tongues of fire, as if tongues of fire on their head. And the Holy Spirit drove them out of the house into the streets, where they encountered all of these pilgrims, all these people speaking different languages. And because of the Holy Spirit's power, they were able to speak the same language. People heard the disciples telling of the power of God, of the coming of the Holy Spirit, witnessing to Jesus Christ in their own language. And they said, how can this be? Aren't these Galileans? I have to understand, when they said that, The Galileans were known for being kind of the country bumpkins of the Jewish religion. They were. They lived outside. They were considered mostly illiterate and uncouth. And it would sort of be like an analogy if you were to take the hillbillies from the, where is it up there? Appalachia, thank you. You know, not to cast anything on them, but they have a reputation, they have a stereotype, if you will, of being less educated. So imagine if a group of country people, of hillbillies from Appalachia came down and suddenly were speaking in fluent French or Japanese or, you know, some other language. We would be astonished by that. We would say, how is this possible? And that's what the people were saying. How is this possible? Of course, it's an act of God. But there they were, speaking and telling people about the faith and how Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. What a wonderful, wonderful witness. And they were able to do that because they were able to suddenly speak the language. Well, I'd like to take us back to the Old Testament, to the story of the Tower of Babel. How many of you are familiar with the Tower of Babel? It's a Sunday school story. It's a Sunday school story. You know, we learn it in Sunday school. The Tower of Babel. After the great flood of Noah, all the people, it said, were all united and they all spoke the same language. And they were very proud of themselves. They were very, very capable. And they said, we can do anything because we have strength in numbers. We are mighty. And we said, we're going to build a tower. And this tower is going to reach up to heaven. And it will show how great we are. And we talk about the pride of the people of Babel at that time, the pride, the arrogance. We don't need God. Now, some scholars say that one of the reasons why they built the Tower of Babel as high as they possibly could was because they were saying to God, okay, God, you flooded the earth and destroyed all humankind. We're going to build a tower so high, you can't flood us. You can't reach us. We're going to defeat you, God, because we are going to... We're not afraid of the flood anymore. We're going to rise above it with this tower. And this tower is going to be the most magnificent thing. Instead of building a temple, we're building a tower. We don't need God. Now that's an old, old story, isn't it? And yet, it's kind of a modern story too, isn't it? You know, we kind of build our own temples for ourselves, don't we? We build our own towers. You know, we say we don't need God. I can do everything I want to do, and I don't need God to do it. It's a pretty common thing in our culture right now. It's common for people to think, I can do everything. Our culture, our technology. Look at what we've accomplished with our technology. There's nothing we can't do. Now, Scripture says that when God saw what the people of Babel were doing with this tower, he said, these people are clever. And there's no telling what they might do. Therefore, I will destroy the tower and I will confuse their language and I will scatter them abroad. And that's what God did. God confused their language so they could no longer understand each other. All of the languages of all of the different peoples came to being at the Tower of Babel. Now, many scholars say that this is kind of a folk tale to explain why people spoke different languages. And they said, well, one time we all spoke one language, but then for some reason, all of a sudden, every little tribe, everybody has their own language. Why did that happen? In the story of the Tower of Babel. But Scripture tells us that God brought them down from their high standing, brought down their tower and confused them and spread them out. So we have in the Old Testament the Tower of Babel, one language, and then God confuses them and sends them out to multiple languages. Now we're in Pentecost, and Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, and all these myriad of languages all of a sudden become what? One. They are all understood. There is unity now. In the Holy Spirit. All of the diversity has become one with diversity. There's lots of things we can kind of compare between Pentecost and between the Babel. Tower of Babel, we learned that humans were arrogant. They were prideful. And we know what goes before pride goeth before the fall. They were proud. They were arrogant. They didn't need God. They showed us humans without God. Pentecost showed us people full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, full of arrogance on one side, full of the Holy Spirit on the other. Language, all right? The language, the diversity of languages, and to the unity of the language of love, the unity of the language of the Holy Spirit. God bringing people together. That's what God does. God brings people together. We honor diversity, but we also look for the unity of the Holy Spirit. Another thing is that God brought down that tower in the Tower of Babel, but he laid the foundation for the church at Pentecost. Brought down the tower. He destroyed the tower. He destroyed what mankind had been building in opposition to God. And at Pentecost, he laid the foundation for what he was going to accomplish through the building of the church. Pentecost, with its tower of pride and arrogance, that destroyed by God and then built up again at Pentecost. There's so many ways we can look at those two stories and see the similarities. But the message that comes forth from all of that is that God is at work in human history. God is at work in human culture. God is at work in human minds. And God is at work in our lives. God cares about each one of us. And when the disciples came out, filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking to people in their own language, it left a message for us as well. That we too need to learn the language of those we wish to reach. Now, we've been talking in our church council about what some goals that we might have as a church for the next 3 years. You know, 3 years from now is 2020. And we thought, what a great time to have a vision for a church. 2020. Good time for a vision. And one of the visions that we have, one of those goals is to grow with new people. But you know, new people, younger generations, they speak a little bit different language than we do. They speak a little bit different language. Their culture is a little bit different than our culture. We kind of divide, you know, 60, 65, we're above. I'm above 65, so I know, you know, we're different than the 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds. Different, we speak differently. We have a different culture. I'm trying to keep up with the technology. I can text. I can text with my finger. I try to keep up with technology, but it's a different thing. You watch these teenagers or the 20 and 30 year olds, and it's like, it's a different world. The church needs to relate to them. And if we as a church want to grow and bring in new people and new generations, we have to be prepared to perhaps speak a little different language. That will not only attract them, but will speak to their hearts. We have something that every generation needs. We have what God wants us to give. You know, every one of us, no matter our age, from whether we are teens or whether we are up into our 80s or 90s, we all have a God-sized hole in our hearts that only God can fill. And there's so many people that have that hole in their hearts, that open, that are trying to fill it with all kinds of things. They're trying to fill it with money. They're trying to fill it with drugs. They're trying to fill it with success. They're trying to fill it. All of that leaves them empty because it doesn't fill that hole. The only thing that fills that emptiness in us is God's love. God created us that way. God created us so that we would need that part of us to be God-filled and Spirit-filled. So we have what every generation needs. We have that. We have that to offer. But how do we speak that language? How do we tell them about God? How can we get that message? We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to have a mighty wind come here and blow us out of here into the community and give us a language that we can speak to everybody and help them understand what God can do for them and through them. We need to be lit on fire. John Wesley, I love what John Wesley once said. Someone asked him, why do people come hear you preach? You know, he wasn't preaching in the churches. He was preaching outdoors in the fields and in the factories. Why do people come hear you preach? And John Wesley said, because the Holy Spirit sets me on fire, and they come to watch me burn. We need to be set on fire, and we need to be that passionate people that can go out and witness and celebrate what God is doing in our lives in order to bring other people into the God's kingdom here. And we're trying to do a little bit of that with our Mosaic service. That's 11 o'clock in the chapel, and I invite you to come sometime. I do art sermons every Sunday. They're popping. We're trying to speak a different language, and we're trying to reach a younger group of people using different music, different medium, but the message is the same. The message is timeless and changeless. The message is God loves you, and God can fill that empty place in your life to fulfill you in every possible way. That's what we have to offer. That's what we need to speak. And let us pray that the Holy Spirit will set us on fire so that we can go out, we can speak that language, we can bring people to Christ and bring people into our church and help this church grow, but more importantly, help the kingdom of God to grow. Amen?
Amen.